Well, if you were blessed by that, say amen.
Amen.
Let's take our Bibles and be turning now, if you would please, to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 9. If you need a Bible, our ushers will be more than happy to bring a copy of the Word of God. Just hold your hand up high, if you would please, till they get to you. And let's go, fellas, to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 9. Just hold your hand up high, if you would please. They're making their way up. And let's go to the book of Isaiah this morning. You'll find this on page 720 if you're using one of our Bibles. Several more up here, if you would. Brother John, come on up, if you would. All right, Brother Roberto, we need some more. Just hold your hand up high, if you would, please. In Isaiah chapter 9, we want everybody to be able to see what the Bible has to say for yourself. So if you don't have a Bible, hold your hand up high. Ushers will see you. They'll get one to you. And let's go to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 9, if you would, please. The book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 9, page 720. You need another one up here, if you would, please. All right. Anybody else need a Bible? Hold your hand up high if you need one. We want you to see what the Word of God has to say. Here with us this morning, book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 9. It's coming your way. Just with patience. Wonderful virtue in it, huh? Isaiah chapter 9, if you would, please. Thank the choir for the wonderful presentation here this morning, ministering to our hearts through the Word and song here this morning. And thank you so much for that. Let there be light. We're going to continue that theme in the message this morning of thinking about light. And we are going to read several verses here in Isaiah chapter 9. Then the title of the message is Jesus, who is our light. Jesus, who is our light. If you're physically able to do so, stand while our scripture reading, for our scripture reading. Follow along in your Bibles, if you would, please. And then I'll pray and let you be seated. In Isaiah chapter 9, look down in verse 1, if you would, please. The Bible says, nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation when at first He lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations. Verse 2, the people that walked in, what's the word?
Darkness
have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. Verse 6, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth and forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning. And as we do, we praise you and thank you for the wonderful musical that our choir has presented us today. We thank you, Lord, for the leadership of Brother Adam. We thank you for the musical skills of Mrs. Seidlitz and for the choir singing so beautifully about our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, as we think about the first words that you ever spoke, let there be light. We thank you, Lord, that not only did you create physical light, we thank you that you sent the greatest light, the light of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in this world. And I pray this morning as we spend some time in the Word of God that we'll be able to exalt and elevate the Lord Jesus Christ to his rightful place of priority and his rightful place of honor and glory here this morning. And Lord, if you enable us to do that, we will give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Isaiah chapter 9 is one of the great Old Testament passages in the Word of God. It is giving a prophetic prediction, if you would please, about the coming of God's Son to this earth. Notice the beginning of verse 6 where it says, for unto us a child is what?
Born.
That's referring to his physical birth on the face of the earth. And the fact that Jesus Christ would come and take upon himself the form of a man, he would be born in humanity. But notice the verse goes on to say, not only would the child be born, but the Bible says the Son would be what? Given. It is incorrect for us to say that the Son of God was born on Christmas Day. It was the birth, the child, the humanity, if you would please, the flesh that was born, but the Son of God came down from heaven. He was God in human form, God incarnate, and we have here one of the greatest Old Testament predictions concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we read this prediction, not only is it a prophetic prediction about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but as is often the case, and this really shows forth the wisdom and might of Almighty God. Often the case in Old Testament prophetic scripture, there is a near fulfillment and then a far fulfillment. Isaiah's far fulfillment would be in the coming of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The people dwelling in darkness, in the darkness of sin, which we'll talk about a little bit later on, will see this great light, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, a Savior, and what great light the Lord Jesus Christ came to give mankind. But there was also a near fulfillment that was taking place as well in this prophetic passage of Scripture. This was written by Isaiah the prophet when the nation of Israel was going through a very dark and difficult time in its existence, if you would please. Notice, if you would please, in verse 1 of chapter 9, it says, "Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation." In other words, there's a dim, bleak period coming toward the nation of Israel. But it wouldn't match the period that had gone on before, when at first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. And afterward, the Bible says, did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan in the Galilee of the nations. Isaiah is giving a prophetic prediction of what was going to take place to the nation of Israel in a very short period of time, a near fulfillment, if you would please. And that is the northern kingdom. The nation of Israel has been divided. And you've got the 10 northern kingdoms that was known as Israel. You've got the 2 southern kingdoms that was known as Judah. And the northern kingdoms were getting ready to be led away, or led astray, if you would please, not astray, but captured, led away in what is known as the Assyrian captivity. Be a very dark period in the history of the nation of Israel. Then following that, the nation of Judah would be carried away into the Babylonian captivity. So Isaiah is giving not only a far prediction, he's also giving a near prediction of what's taking place or going to take place in the land of the nation of Israel. Now understand that this was going to be a very dark time in their history. And it was going to be a dark time because of their disobedience to God. Notice, if you would please, in chapter 8. In chapter 8, in verse 22, the Bible says this: "They shall look unto the earth and behold." Now look what the nation of Israel is going to behold. They're going to behold 2 things: trouble and what?
Darkness.
Trouble and darkness. None of us like trouble, and most of us don't like darkness. Because darkness, as we think about going through a time of darkness, we think about going through a time of difficulty. We think about going through misfortune. We think about going through misery. And here indeed, it was a prediction of the fact that they're going to face trouble. They're going to face darkness. Notice how prophet Isaiah goes on to describe it in verse 22. Dimness of what? Anguish. It's going to be a very dark time in their history. And the Bible says here at the end of the verse that they're going to be driven. Now look at this. They are going to be driven to what? Darkness. They're going to be driven to darkness. So prophet Isaiah is giving a prediction about a time of the nation of Israel when it's going to be very bleak. And it is going to be very dark. It's going to be extremely dark. And all this is coming about because of Israel's disobedience to God. God had warned them about this. He had promised in the book of Deuteronomy that if you listen to me and you obey me, you're going to be blessed. But if you won't listen to me and you'll disobey me, then I'm going to send judgment. I'm going to send cursing. Let's take our Bibles and take a look at that real quickly. Hold your place in Isaiah. Go with me to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is the 5th book of your Bibles, if you would please. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. You'll be on page 245 if you're using one of our Bibles here this morning. And go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 28. In Deuteronomy chapter 28... You see, the nation of Israel, God had clearly told the nation of Israel that if they would listen to His voice and be obedient to His commandments, that He would bless them, and He would bless them abundantly. Notice, if you would please, in Deuteronomy chapter 28, in verse 1. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 28, in verse 1, "And it shall come to pass," God is speaking to the nation of Israel now, "if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God." Now, here's what God wants them to do: to observe and to what? Do all His commandments. So if you'll listen to me and you'll be obedient to my commandments, look what God says here, "which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth." So God says, if you'll listen to what I say, if you'll be obedient to what I say, I'm going to give you an exalted position. I'm going to exalt the nation of Israel above all the nations on the face of the earth. And then verse 2, not only that, but notice He says in verse 2, "and all these," what's the word? Blessings. Stay with me now. Verse 2 says, "all these" what? "All these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God." So the instruction was a very clear and simple instruction to the people of Israel. Listen to what God says. Be obedient to what God says. God wants to elevate you as a nation, and He wants to lift you up above every other nation on the face of the earth. And besides that, all these blessings that I've been talking about in the book of Deuteronomy, I'm going to give them to you. I'm going to place them upon your life. Now, we understand that God also issued a warning. Look in the same chapter, down in verse 15. And in verse 15, God says this. In verse 15, God says, "But it shall come to pass, if thou will not," what? "Hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all His commandments." So you won't listen to God. You will not be obedient to God and His statutes, which I command thee this day. Notice what God says. He says, "all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee." Now, part of those curses was the fact that God would allow them to be taken away from their land, carried away from their land into captivity. Notice in the same chapter, if you would please, verse 47. In verse 47, God knew that they would be disobedient. And in verse 47, He says, "Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all these things, therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee in." Now notice what they're going to go through. They're going to go through what? Hunger. They're going to go through what? Thirst. They're going to go through nakedness. And they're going to experience the want of all things. And the Bible says that God was going to put a yoke of what? Iron upon their neck until He have what? That's dark. Is it not? And Isaiah is letting the nation of Israel know in Isaiah chapter 9 that the darkness that God warned about is about to come upon your lives. You're about to experience that darkness. You're about to go into those captivities. And yet, as He talks to them about the darkness that is about to take place in their lives, He also brings out the hope of light. Yes, there's always light, isn't it? In the darkness, there's what? Light. There's light. Because God is a God of mercy, and God is a God of grace, and God is a God of love, and God is a God of kindness. In the midst of darkness, there always is an element of light. Now go back to Isaiah chapter 9, if you would please, and let's move quickly. Isaiah chapter 9. And in Isaiah chapter 9, the nation of Israel is going to go through a great time of darkness. By the way, they're going through that darkness, remember, because they would not listen and obey God. Listen, sin always brings darkness. It always brings darkness. It doesn't matter whether you're the nation of Israel or whether you're the United States of America. When a people refuses to listen to God and disobeys the directives of God in His Word, it always, 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 always brings darkness. And as Isaiah is writing, predicting about the darkness that's going to come upon the nation of Israel, in verse 2 back in Isaiah chapter 9, if you lost your place, it's 721. In Isaiah chapter 9, in verse 2, the Bible says, the people that walked in what? darkness. So through these captivities, the nation of Israel is going to walk through a great time of darkness, but yet God says they're going to see light. They're going to see light. But then he goes on in that same verse, and notice what he says. He says, and they that dwell in the land of the shadow of what? The land of the shadow of death. God says, upon them the light hath what? Shined. My friend, as long as we're in this world, there's darkness. And as long as we're in this world, we're walking in the shadow of death. I'm anticipating some funerals here shortly that I'll have to conduct, perhaps even before Christmas, of some of our church people. And so we're walking through a time. I'm walking through a time right now with some of our folks who are facing the shadow of death. The shadow of death. But you know, for a child of God who has the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but we fear no what?
Evil.
Death is a great enemy of man. In fact, the Bible says that death is the last enemy to be destroyed in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 26. And as long as man is down on this earth, there's darkness. There's darkness because of sin. Men are walking through the valley, if you would please, of the shadow of death. And when you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ and you're here in this world walking in darkness and you're faced with the shadow of death, it brings a tremendous amount of emptiness, of uncertainty, and a lack of peace. But when you know the light of the world, who's Jesus Christ, it takes on a whole different perspective. Amen? And so we're thankful for the fact that these prophecies would go on and tell us about the Lord Jesus Christ. But coming back to the near context, they're walking in darkness. And they are dwelling in the shadow of death. And those captivities, many of them will never come back to the land of Israel. They will die in those foreign lands. And that's what the prophet Isaiah is saying. But in this prophecy, he also gives a ray of light. He gives some hope, if you would please. He lets them know, listen, you're going to see some light. God's going to bring you through. God is going to bring you through. And for the people of Judah, they one day would come back into the land. Not only that, but they were not encountering a great deal of joy. But verse 3 lets us know that one of these days, they would encounter a tremendous amount of joy. It describes the joy of harvest. It describes people rejoicing, dividing the spoil. And then verse 4, it also lets us know that although they were currently beaten down, that God eventually would break the what? Break the yoke. Notice in verse 4 it says, for thou hast broken the yoke of his what? Burden. And one of these days, God indeed would break that yoke. Now, this morning we want to take that passage of Scripture and see how it relates in the far fulfillment. How it relates to you and I. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 4. You don't have to hold your place in Isaiah any longer. But go with me to Matthew chapter 4. The Gospel of Matthew in Matthew chapter 4, page 998. And in Matthew chapter 4, I want you to notice, please, in Matthew chapter 4, we'll begin reading in verse 13. And in Matthew chapter 4, in verse 13, page 998, notice what the Bible says. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 13, it says, and leaving Nazareth, he, Jesus, came into Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast in the border of Zebulun and Naphtali. Notice it says that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of Isaiah. That's a variant spelling in our New Testament of Isaiah. Same person, Judah of Zebulun, and the Lamb of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee, in the Gentiles. Verse 16, the people which sat in darkness saw a great what? A great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is what? Sprung up. Now, it's telling us that the light is here. These people in the northern part of Israel who've been afflicted, the light has come. Jesus has gone there. And now Jesus is the light. He is the fulfillment, if you would please. The fulfillment of the light that would come into this world. Take your Bibles and turn over to Luke chapter 1. The Gospel of Luke in Luke chapter 1, just to your right. Page 1072. It will bless your heart if you'll take your Bible this week and look up the word light. and do a little word study of the word light and how it's connected with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and how it relates to his coming to the face of the earth. And in Luke chapter 1, notice if you would please, in Luke chapter 1, page 1072, in verse 78, the Bible says this. In Luke chapter 1, in verse 78, the scripture here is speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice the Bible says this, that he came to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins through the tender mercy of our God, verse 78, whereby the word, it is what? Day spring from on high hath what? Visited us. Now the day spring is Jesus. Jesus is called the day spring. And he from on high came to this earth and visited us. Look at the next verse. The next verse goes on to say this, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Isn't that beautiful? It really is a beautiful thought. God sending his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world to give light to us who sit in darkness. Light to us who sit in darkness and in the shadow of what? Death. To guide our feet into the way of peace. Peace in the darkness. Peace in the shadow of death. Yes. Because the day star, the bright and shining light, the eternal Son of God, came into this world. Wow. What amazing thing we celebrate at Christmas. The light that came into this world. Look in chapter 2, if you would please, of Luke chapter 2. In verse 32, notice the Bible says this, speaking of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, once again in Luke chapter 2 and verse 32, he came as a light to lighten the who? The Gentiles and the glory of thy people, Israel. We'll not turn there, but in John chapter 1 and verse 9, it speaks of Jesus being the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now as we stop and think about Jesus as the light here this morning, we'll never appreciate Jesus as the light unless we really comprehend three things about the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only about the Lord Jesus Christ, but some of them about ourselves. You know, we'll never appreciate the light until we understand the darkness. The light shines brightest in the backdrop of the greatest darkness. The darker the night, the brighter the light. And many of us have not understood the darkness without Christ. I mean, we live in it, but we haven't fully understood it. The whole world was lost in the darkness of sin. But the light of the world is Jesus. Do we understand the darkness of our sin? I mean, really understand the darkness of our sin. You know, Isaiah, if we were back in the book of Isaiah, we'd look in Isaiah chapter 6, where Isaiah one time had a vision where he was taken up before the very throne of God. And in that vision, as he was taken up before the very throne of God and he saw God sitting upon his throne, Isaiah cried out, "Woe is me, for I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips." He was saying to himself, "What am I doing in the presence of this holy God? I'm not worthy to be in this presence of this holy God. I'm undone. I'm a sinner. I'm a man of unclean lips." Isaiah had us all pegged right when in Isaiah chapter 53 he says, "All we like sheep, we've gone what?" There's not a person here this morning that has lived a perfectly obedient life to God. God says, "Go this way," and what do? We go our own way, do we not? We're like sheep that have gone astray. Furthermore, Isaiah would tell us in Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6 that we're all as an unclean thing. We are all as an unclean thing. And our righteousness is nothing but a filthy rag in God's sight. Do you understand that without the Lord Jesus Christ, my friend, that we are in the darkness, I mean the total darkness of our sin? The total darkness of our sin. Romans chapter 3, take your Bibles and turn there if you would please. We'll just look at a couple of verses that describe the darkness of our sin. Romans chapter 3, page 1194. We'll never appreciate the light that came into this world until we understand the darkness that we were existing in. The darkness that we were living in without the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 3, notice in your Bibles if you would please, in Romans chapter 3, look down in verse 9. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 9, the Bible says this, "What then, are we better than they?" You read the context of the passage, there's a discussion going on between the privileges of the Jews over the Gentiles. And because they had some privileges that the Jews or Gentiles did not have, some of the Jewish people were thinking, well, we're better than the Gentiles. Look what we've got. We've got the written word of God that was given to us. We are God's chosen people. Aren't we better than the Gentiles? And the answer is this in verse 9, no, in no wise. My friend, if you ever begin to think, are you better than someone else? Get your Bible out and read this verse. The answer is no in no wise. You say, well, I'm not like these despicable people out in the world doing these despicable things. Well, okay, you're a respectable sinner then. Is anyone better than anyone else? No, in no wise. That's not my word. That's the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
God's got us all pegged. He knows exactly what we're like. He says, no one is any better than anyone else. No, in no wise. Notice what it goes on to say. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under what?
Sin.
My friend, without the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives, we are all under sin. All under sin. This passage of Scripture goes on to describe what's it mean for us to be under sin. Under sin, verse 10 says, there's none of us that meets God's standard of righteousness. Notice what it says in verse 10. As it is written, there is none what?
Righteous,
no, not one. None of us are righteous in God's sight. Not only that, verse 11, it says, there's none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after who?
God.
Left to ourselves in this state of darkness, we would never seek God, but we're not left to ourselves. Amen? God sent the what? Light into the world, coming to seek this and to save that which was lost. But then notice this, verse 12, it says, they are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth what? Good, no, not what? One. Understand the darkness of the hour. The darkness of the hour. Listen, some of the darkest times in life that I've experienced with people, other folks, is when a doctor comes out and says, there is no hope. That's a dark moment. Without God sending the light of Jesus into this world, my friend, there is no hope for you. There's no hope for you. There's no hope for me. There is no hope for eternity with God for any of us if God had not sent the light. We're all in darkness. We are dwelling in the shadow of what? Death. Why are we dwelling in the shadow of death? Because of our sin. Sin always brings death. It always has. It always will. Notice Romans chapter 5, if you would please. Romans chapter 5. And in Romans chapter 5, we'll not fully appreciate the light until we understand the darkness of our lives. The need that we have in Romans chapter 5, notice if you would please in verse 12, the Bible says this, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world. This is speaking about the disobedience of Adam. Through Adam's disobedience, sin came into the world. And notice what else came into the world. Not only did sin come into the world, but the Bible says, and what?
Death
by sin. Part of our narration this morning was the fact that one of our choir members, I don't remember who it was, said, the darkness came into this world when Adam and Eve sinned. That was a dark hour, wasn't it? Because through Adam's disobedience, death entered this world. There was no death before Adam disobeyed God. Sin is always brings us into darkness. Sin always brings death. Always brings death. And through his disobedience, death entered the world. And the Bible says this in verse 12. Don't think it has escaped you. So death passed upon how many?
All
men. For that all have what?
Sin.
You see, without the Lord Jesus Christ, without the light, we're just walking in the midst of death. Walking in the midst of death. And without Christ, we would die and be eternally separated from him for all of eternity. We would experience what the Bible refers to as the second death. And there is no greater darkness than the second death. No greater darkness. No greater darkness. Because talk about no hope. That means there's no hope for all of eternity. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great what?
Light.
And they that dwell in the shadow of the of death, God sent the light. He sent Jesus. We'll never greatly appreciate the light that God sent in the person of Jesus Christ until we understand the darkness that we are in. The darkness without Christ. But then also, not only do we need to understand the darkness without Christ and dwelling in the shadow of death, but if we're going to appreciate the light that God sent into this world, we've got to realize the gracious action of God the Father in sending Jesus to die on our behalf. Because you see, Jesus became the solution to the darkness. Jesus became the solution to the death. Take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 2, if you would please. Book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 2. In Hebrews chapter 2, this is on page 1293. The book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 2. The only deliverance that any of us have from the shadow of death is the sacrifice of death Jesus made on the cross of Calvary for us. And by the way, that was a gracious act of God the Father. A gracious act of God the Father in sending His Son Jesus to bring light into this world. And in Hebrews chapter 2, God the Father did not have to do that. God the Son did not have to die on the cross. But if He didn't, we would have no way to escape death. And in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9, the Bible says this: "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels." And here's why he was made lower than the angels: for the suffering of what?
Death.
Jesus came to suffer on the cross, to taste death in our place. The Bible says, "Crowned with glory and honor, that he, Jesus," now look at this, "he, Jesus, by the," look at it now, "by the what?
Grace
of God should taste death for every man." Truth of the matter is, that holy God that Isaiah saw high and lifted up and sitting on his throne has perfect right to condemn all of us to an eternity in the everlasting lake of fire. He has perfect right to do that. But in his kindness to you and I, he sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and let him die in our place. He died on our behalf. He took the judgment that we deserve so that we might be spared, so that we might have eternity with him and for all of eternity. Notice, if you would please, as this passage goes on, in verse 14 says this: "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also," Jesus himself, "likewise took part of the same, that through death, see, Jesus had to take upon himself the form of a man, because only through the form of man could he what?
Die.
It was his flesh that was sacrificed. It was his flesh that was crucified. And there the Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ himself took part of the same, that through his death, notice what the Bible says, he might destroy him that hath the power of death, that is the devil. Who has the power of death? The devil. And Jesus Christ, through his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary, has forever defeated the devil. And defeating the devil, he defeated death. He defeated sin. He defeated the grave. He not only died to do that, he was buried and he rose again victoriously. Amen?
Amen.
And so the verse goes on in verse 15 to say, and look at this now, and what? Deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Before we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, we were subject to the bondage of death, were we not? And the Lord Jesus Christ came down and he has delivered us from that. We'll never appreciate the light until we understand the darkness we were in. We'll never appreciate the light until we understand the great act of God's grace in sending his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for our sin, to satisfy sin's penalty of death on our behalf, to deliver us from that death, to bring us life. Bring us life. Jesus came as the light of the world to bring us life. I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Isn't that what the Lord Jesus Christ said? And what a wonderful truth that is. And then thirdly, we'll never appreciate the greatness of that light until we personally accept the Lord Jesus Christ to be the one to deliver us and save us from our sins. Notice, if you would please, back in the Gospel of John, in John chapter 1. John chapter 1. My friend, if you're here this morning, you'll find this on page 1114. If you're here this morning and you're not absolutely certain, I mean 100% confident, that if you were to die today, that if the shadow of death would close in upon you today, that you would be in God's presence. Listen, none of us have any way of deliverance from the penalty of death other than the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ loves us all. Jesus Christ died for us all. Jesus Christ paid the sin penalty in our place for us all. And Jesus Christ will save any and all who will come to receive him. And in John chapter 1, notice if you would please, page 1114. In John chapter 1, in verse 11, the Bible says this: he came into his own, the Jewish people, but his own what? Received him not. So we find rejection in verse 11. We find people rejecting the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then verse 12 talks about those who would not reject him, but those who would receive him. And in verse 12 it says, but as many as received him, to them, to those who received Christ, to them gave he power to do what? Become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. My friend, if you're here this morning without the Lord Jesus Christ, without the assurance of home in heaven, recognize the darkness of your sin. You have no way of deliverance, but God in his grace sent Jesus to deliver you. Jesus paid the price. Jesus gave his life. Jesus died for you. He then was buried and rose again the third day. And by faith, take God at his word and receive Christ to save you. And receiving Christ to save you, the verse says you'll become a child of God. Now, not only will you become a child of God, the bondage of sin, of death, of Satan, will be broken. It will be broken. And God does some things in our lives. Let's look at about three more verses and then we'll be done. Take your Bibles quickly, if you would please. And let's look at some things that God does when we come to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to book 1 Peter real quickly. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. We're almost done, so just stay with me. 1 Peter chapter 2, page 1313. Here's some things that God does when you accept his Son as Savior. Here's some things that God does in your life when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ to be the one to deliver you from sin's penalty of death and give you a home in heaven. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, notice if you would please, look down in verse 9. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, the Bible says this: but ye are a chosen generation, you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Now look at what the Scripture says: that you might show forth the praises of him who hath called you. Look at this now. He has called you out of what? Darkness into his marvelous what?
Light.
So now we're no longer dwelling in darkness. We've been called out of what? Darkness. And now we're in his marvelous what?
Light.
Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Colossians, please. Colossians chapter 1. Over to your left. the book of Colossians, in Colossians chapter 1. And in Colossians chapter 1, just over to your left, please, page 1262, what a wonderful thing Jesus is as the light. In Colossians chapter 1, look down in verse 13. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, the Bible says this. It says, "Who hath delivered us?" Jesus has delivered us. He's delivered us from the power of what?
Darkness.
And He's translated us into the kingdom of His own dear what? We're no longer living in darkness. We're no longer in darkness. We're no longer under the power of darkness. We're now in the kingdom of God's own dear what? Son. What a glorious, glorious, glorious thing that is. And then one last verse, please. 1 Thessalonians, quickly. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Just over to your right, a few pages. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. There's so much the Bible says about light. We're just scratching the surface this morning, but aren't we glad? Aren't we so thankful that those who are dwelling in darkness and under the shadow of death, light has come. The light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, notice please in verse 5. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 5, it says, "Ye are the children of what?
Light.
And the children of the day. We are not. We are not. We are not of the night, nor of what?
Darkness."
That's where we were before we were saved. We were of night. We are of darkness. But no longer. Because we have the light of life. We have the light of the world. The person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The people that walked in darkness. Well, that's us. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus as your Savior? You saw the great what? A light. You saw a great light. You dwelled in the land of the shadow of death. The light has shined upon us. And so we do not fear going through that valley. The light of the world is Jesus. Now light is intended to shine. And those of us who possess the light, God is counting on us to shine His light. To shine His light through us. And in this Christmas season, let me just say this and I close. We who are God's people need to let the light of Jesus, first of all, shine in our hearts. Secondly, shine in our homes. Thirdly, shine in our church. Fourthly, shine in our community. And fifthly, shine in our workplace. And next Sunday morning, we're going to speak about those things. How do we go about letting Christ's light shine, first of all, in us? How do we let Christ's light shine in our homes? How do we go about letting the light shine in our church? And how do we let it shine in our community? And how do we let it shine in the workplace? Well, you'll be back next Sunday morning. Come tonight. First. Don't miss that children's program. But you'll be back next Sunday morning for that. And we'll think about shining our lights. Let's bow together in prayer. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, we appreciate your attentiveness this morning and looking to the Scripture. Do you know for certain if you were to die, you'd go to heaven? Are you still dwelling in darkness? My friend, if you're here this morning and you're not absolutely certain of going to heaven when you die, God sent the light, Jesus Christ. And Jesus did for you what you cannot do for yourself. Will you receive Him to be your way of heaven? Would you here this morning just acknowledge to God while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, just in the quietness of your seat, just talk to God. God knows your thoughts. You can't make a mistake talking to God. He knows how you feel. He knows everything about you. And just be honest with Him and say, "God, when the preacher was talking about the darkness of sin, I realize that. That's where my life has been. It's been in the darkness of sin. And I understand that my sin deserves death, separation from You for all of eternity. But here this morning, I've come to understand that in Your grace, You sent your Son to die for me. You allowed the judgment of my sin to be placed on Him so that I could be delivered from darkness and death. I've never personally accepted or received your Son to be my Savior. But here this morning, right now, God, I want you to know I'm doing that. And my friend, if you would do that, but as many as received Him, to them gave you power to become the sons of God. You would become God's child this morning. And you move out of light, or out of darkness, into light. What a glorious thing. Would you accept Christ? Would you make that decision? If you're making that decision here this morning, I'd like to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not call you out or identify you in any way. But if you're here this morning, you say, Preacher, I've never received the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's done on the cross for me to be my way to heaven. But this morning, I'm making that decision. This morning, I told God, God, I'm accepting Your Son to be my way to heaven. I want you to know I'm doing that this morning. I'd like for you to pray for me as you close the service in prayer. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, no one's looking around. Would you quietly slip your hand up, slip it down? Is there anyone like that this morning? Just by way of uplifted hand, would say, pray for me. Here this morning, I'm accepting the Lord Jesus to be my way to heaven. May those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior rejoice in the light that God has brought to us. Father, we're so thankful that not only in history past You said the words, let there be light, and physical light came to this world. We're thankful that You sent Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, a physical light, ultimately to be a spiritual light, to redeem mankind from that which we have no way of redeeming ourselves. We praise You. We thank You for it. May we let His light this Christmas season shine in our hearts, our homes, our church, our community, our workplace. He is so special, and He is so real. May we never take Him for granted. And may we love Him and serve Him and shine His light to the day of our death. And we'll praise You and thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen.